Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, friends. Good morning. Good morning. This is Marcia, Dr. Cupertino of the Dr. Cupertino Show. Listen, we have some good information for you. We have some good word from God for you. And most of all, we have the best to say for the best day you're going to have, and that is today. We have a topic today called, Will My Child Ever Forgive Me and Come Home? You know, home is where it all started. Home is where they had their first walk, their first talk, their first everything. It started at home. My God, who wouldn't want to come home? But before we get started, we're going to honor that Creator with a word of prayer. Prayer changes things. And if you want a change of anything, change your heart health. Change your feet health. Change your whole physical being. Start right here with prayer. Prayer, it does work. Father in heaven, we come to you because we've tried everything else. We've tried everyone else. We've listened to everyone. We ran to and fro. Nothing has worked. No answers that were worth anything were forthcoming. So here we come back, prodigal daughter, prodigal son. And even if we weren't prodigal, we know you live. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to approach you. Thank you for just being there. Thank you for being there when we weren't there with you ourselves in spirit and in truth. Thank you for holding on and holding out. In Jesus' name, thank you. In that name, now, there's no other name that I can think of by which man can be saved. Saved from everything, hurt, harm, and danger, according to your will. But that name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Will my child ever forgive me and come home? There's no magic manual on how to raise our children. No, it is not. There's the Holy Scripture that tells us how to go about raising a child. But you know, many do not and did not know. None of us knew how to keep our hands and our minds off of our precious children who look to us for love, direction, and care. Many of us did not, and we don't know how to keep our hands and our minds off of our precious children. Time has passed, and they're out of sight and troubled, and so are some of us who took advantage of their being and their right to a sane and a happy life with a bright future. Or is it too late? Is it too far past for any form of redemption? How do I repent? Which is nothing more than turning around and never repeating those things that we did. Most of it evil. Well, I have caused in my life and in their life problems that here I come, Father, for you to help me turn around, for me to get you involved once and for all. You've been there, but I need you to get involved in my life and in theirs, wherever they are. My goodness, how do I repent of the evil that I've caused? Well, we're going to hear some answers today, and we're going to hope for the best that is to come when you lift up your head and your heart and you utter these words. We're going to hear right now from God. I'm going to be doing the talking, but you don't really want to hear from me. You want me to be that vessel that God can use and speak through, and so do I. You know, when men and women come together. They come together in love or for whatever purpose. And they find themselves mommies and daddies. Most, if not all of us, have not had an opportunity to sit in front of those that are wise and that have lived good examples in raising their children and say, hey, wait a minute. I'm pregnant. I'm eating for 2, 3, 4, 5. Who knows? Feel like I'm eating for the world. But once this baby, once this child, once this precious, precious being comes into this world, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to need help. Some of us go that route. Others don't. Just jump on that operating table, that birth-giving table. Oops, there it is. And we go on down the street. No change. No change. Not realizing that when another human being comes into existence under our care, that there's some work to do. We kind of hear, you know, from the street, well, you know, you got to get up at 2 o'clock for a feeding. Yeah, you got to make sure there's plenty of Pampers and Huggies in that house. Yep, you got to make sure you get the right Gerber food, get it in the right stages. But wait a minute, there's more to it. And this is why today I'm encouraging all of you that are listening to do this. Before you get pregnant, before you find out from that pregnancy stick that, I'm pregnant, there's work. There's work to do. There's work to do. And if we think about the job ahead before that precious life is there within, that's half the battle won. I counsel young men and women, before you lay down and there's this spark of life that's taking place, ready to ignite, decide what you want, who you want, and what do you want them to do. That's right. You want a fireman, you want a nurse, you want a doctor, you want a lawyer. There's work ahead. There's work ahead. Because if we don't put that work in the forefront, there's a pretty good chance we're going to stumble along the way and we're going to hurt that child. We are going to not be equipped to lead and guide that child without pre-guidance. You know, there used to be a time when you had to have marital counseling, and that was on the table too, the children, where they really wanted, how many, and what do you think you're going to do with them? How are you going to live with them? But now, no more. So that means if we take precaution before a lady gets pregnant to think these things out, and then while she's pregnant, she wants the lawyer, start reading law books, rubbing that tummy, the baby inside, hearing every word. May not understand, but they're understanding something. And that something is the spirit of guidance over their life. And then making sure during the pregnancy you think right, you act right, you talk right, you walk right. And most of all, you pray that God and God alone will be your guide and guide this child. My goodness. There's a chance there that the child is going to come out something that you want and something that you want to spend time with and training in the utterance under the glory and the office and guidance of God. But if you're just going through the motion, pregnant, eating anything you want, not drinking enough water, you're not hydrating the child's brain, but not drinking a lot of water. My goodness, what is supposed to come out of you? And so when we don't take precaution before and during our pregnancy, here come the child. You didn't know what he was going to do within you. Now you don't know how you're going to lead him. You don't know what he's going to be, what he's going to do. Then your actions toward that child may not be helpful. They might not be encouraging. They might not be loving. and you got a problem on your hand. You're not going to treat that child right when he's on the outside of the womb if you didn't do the things to bring about a happy birth, and if you didn't treat the child right within before the child made his exit. You're going to have some problems. And you're not going to want to honor the life and the stance of the child once the child is out of the womb. You're not going to know how to operate with that child outside the womb. You didn't know it. You didn't know it within. Now here he is. What are you going to do? Well, you're probably going to holler when you should not at the child. You're probably going to want to strike the child when you know darn well you should not have. You're not going to treat the child probably with love because obviously you didn't love it within, so you got a problem. And this is the topic I'm coming to. Will my child ever forgive me? You know, children from 0 to 3 are at their formative best. They're picking up on sights, inner and outer. They're coming into their little being on how do I operate in love and without love. Something's going on I can't explain. I don't feel wanted. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. The child, even they can't even express it. Some feelings are going on here. Some feelings. Some traumatic feelings. Some feelings that are not good and that don't harmonize with the child is going on. And that child, while we won't say it is confused, but it's forever hoping, looking, thinking. It's forever waiting for love. That's all the child will know. Do you love me? Do you love me? Your actions show you don't love me. Do you love me? Can you love me? I'm not worthy. I don't feel worthy. You don't love me. I'm not worthy. The child is ever formulating these decisions based on how he's taught. And if we as parents do not understand that the child is an extension of you, and whatever you say and do, the child is going to walk in it, repeat it, and act in it, and act on it, we're going to have a problem. And as a child grows, he's going to either hate you or love you. He's going to either adore you or don't want to be around you. He's going to formulate in his mind somehow that I'm on my own, and whatever I do, oh, well, I'm on my own. It's me and me alone. That child will become rebellious and will become someone that doesn't want to have anything to do with love and its expression. You got a problem. And if you take advantage of your child sexually, if you take advantage of your child physically, you take advantage of your child because it is smaller than you. Some might even say, oh, he's just a useless eater. She's just a useless eater. You're going to have a problem. You have a problem. Number one, you're a coward. You're a coward because those that have courage will take advantage of the opportunity to raise the child in the way that child should go. No child should endure any type of actions. That is not warranted. But a coward will not go out and do the right thing by life and those that are living. They will hide in the crevices behind closed doors and project all manner of evil, not knowing that they are walking, living, devious curse, and every form of disease and hurt, harm, and danger is lurking around the windows and their doors. They don't care. A coward, a slacking coward, a coward. No good end comes to the coward. Use and abuse the children. How in the world, if they get out, would they even try to want to make it back? But again, some of us just went into this. Oh, well, she got pregnant. Oh, well, oh, my God, look through the bedroom door. She's gorgeous. You might not think you're paying for anything right now. But let me tell you something. Your blood should curdle at the very aspect of the angelic guardians over that child. You think you're getting away with your satisfactions now. A crooked coward you are. A coward. Perverted, devious coward. But there's hope, because God says that all those that make up their mind to put their trust in the Lord, in the one called Jesus Christ, they have an opportunity to get it right. Will your child ever forgive you? I tell you what. You get with God. You can't suck around on God. You can't pervert God. You can't lay with God and defile God. You cannot make God do anything you want to do. But God still holds out the scepter of forgiveness. You might say, oh no, I've been dirty. I've been horrible. I've done so many bad things to my kids. There's still hope for you. A early death might be around the corner. But today, right now is all you have. There is hope right now. If you're listening to this show, there's hope right now. But you're not going to do it without God. You tried everything. Some of you have not. Laying around for the next shot at your child. But there is hope. God says he can make all things new, including you. But you've got to go to him. God says, he that returns to me, I return to him. And when God returns to you, he returns with all of your good. All of your good in his right hand. Yes, he's hurt. Yes, he's ashamed. But he's glad that you got back to him before he snuffed you out. And your child, every child is waiting to hear something from mommy, daddy, no matter how evil, no matter how wicked. God created us like that, to hold on and hang on no matter what, hoping, looking through the crack in the window that, yes, I might get a glimpse of them coming down the walkway. It's time to get it right. Some of us have been a part of the problem. We've been low down and dirty and still low down and dirty. But God is saying that he will reunite lost souls, lost bodies, lost people in his day and for his purpose. If your child does come home, it's not for your edification and your glorification. It is to prove God true and right and righteous, that I will return when he made his decree, I will return all things good unto you. I am the purveyor. I am the one of the greatest and the most wonderful gifts that come down from above. And I'll add no pain. You're in pain. If you've been living a crooked, bedeviled life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble without God. Now, because you made mistakes, I've made mistakes in raising our children and doing the right thing by them. And we come now to realize that, hey, I've been wrong. I've done wrong. Everything about my life was wrong with my children. Now here's an opportunity. Here is the opportunity. The only way to get God's attention is to say, okay, God, here. You know, I'm the woman of the 1, 2, 3 connection with God. It doesn't take all that. I'm the same woman that will say, raise your hand and your head. Raise your heart. Lift up your head and your heart and utter the words that you know God wants you to hear. God, I repent. Don't know you. Didn't think I wanted to know you. God, I repent. God, I repent. God, turn me around. Some say, well, you know what, I've done that, but, you know, I keep doing the same thing. God, turn me around. It's all you've got to do. God, turn me around. I've been walking as a slut and slime of the earth. God turned me around. I took advantage of my children and everybody that know me. God turned me around. I'm sick of me, been sick of me, tired of me. God turned me around. I don't have nothing to show but hell and high water for all the problems I've caused my children. I don't know where they are. Might be dead. Oh, my goodness. God turned me around. Even if the children are dead, haven't seen him in 20, 30 years, God turned me around. You might be wearing a captain suit, pilot suit, army suit, presidential suit. God turned me around. I walked away from you. I took advantage of my children. I walked away from them in my heart. I had to have had a wicked, evil, detestable heart to do what I did. But you did for David what I'm asking you to do for me. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Create. That means to remake. That means not just to put some bleach and comet on that old heart, that old wicked heart. You need God to clean it. Create. Remake it. When you create something, you're making something. You're coming from nothing into something. You're bringing nothing into something. Create. You're stepping aside from that, and you're over here with your putty. You're going to ask God to create. I've done it all. Exercise, some pills, and stopping drinking some coffee. Look, all those things don't work. Remember what Jesus said that defiles a man? What did he say about that? Read that. I'm not going to tell. I want you to get into Matthew. It's not what goeth in. It's not what coming out. Come on. I want you to read that. Ask God to create in you a clean heart. Clean that old wicked heart up. Only God can do it. Create. Go back. Because out of the heart, Jesus said, comes wicked reasonings. Had to have been wicked to take advantage of your children, your young sons, your young daughters. Ask God to create. That's it. Say, Satan, get behind me. You fool, get behind me. Ask God to create in you a clean heart and renew in your right spirit. See, because a wicked spirit is going to goad you to do the wrong things. You're not going to do righteous acts. You're not going to commit righteous acts. You didn't back then. You're not going to do it now. With an unclean heart, clean spirit, a wicked spirit. And you're going to ask God that. You know, another reason why you're going to ask God to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit? Because it's because of our spirit we have our being. It's the spirit of wickedness, the spirit, satanic spirit of wickedness, indwelling. Satan is wicked, treacherous, dirty. And, of course, his followers are wicked, treacherous, dirty. Think bad 24/7. Just got to be doing something evil, wicked, wanton, ugly, horrible. That's Satan goading that person. But I tell you what, if you get in God's line, if you step to the head of the line and say, God, I'm evil. I've done terrible things. I'm doing them now. I don't know how to stop. I can't stop in my right mind. You can say, Satan, get your ass behind me. Get behind me. Now I'm telling you. I'm ordering you. I'm not playing no more damn games. Satan, get your ass behind me. And you want to turn your face to God and say, God, I'm not afraid anymore. Help me. If I have to go back and try to find them, tell them I'm sorry. Tell them I love them. Tell me what to do. Guide me, God. I'm sorry I haven't been to you quicker. Whatever it takes, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, God turned me around. And I tell you what, Price, they might come walking. They might come talking. You might get an email. you might get a cell message. And even if you don't, you've got a chance to stand before God, a clean creation. Any dog going back to his vomit can do the same evil things, the same evil thing, day after day, night after night. It doesn't take anyone with a rocket science mind to want to go to God. But right now, face God. How do you face God? Just sit down and bow your head down between your legs and say, God, Jehovah. Psalm 83:18 says that thou, whose name art Jehovah, art the Most High God over all the earth. Jehovah, look. Look at me. Look at me. Please turn me around. I can't do it. I got 2 feet, but I can't move. I can't move them in your direction without your Holy Spirit. Turn me around. Turn me around. The spirit of your heart will somehow, through the ephemeral, reach the heart of your child. And then if somehow it's discovered the child is no more, take up your being. Take up your being with a charge to help other children to become all that they can be. Work as their saviors on earth. Work as their teacher of righteousness in their life. Find yourself smiling in the face of a child, and God will honor that. You have a chance. If you walk right into any police station and say, God, come on behind me. God, come on in front of me. God, get on your side. You're going to see a miracle. You know what? It's time to turn your life in and over to God. And leave the forgiveness of your child or your children in the hands of God. People say, oh, I just turn them over to God. No, fool. He didn't give you them for you to turn them back over to him. Coward. Jesus said, take up your cot and walk. Pick it up. The children are your responsibility. These children are your responsibility. Will your child ever forgive you and come home? And it's up to the power of God who has heard your sincere cry and who tells you, you have done a good thing by returning to me. God bless you. I'll look to see you in spirit next week, same place, same time, on the Dr. Cupertino Show. Bye.